Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Kickoff and Beyond Show. I'm Eric here with Alvi. We're going to be recapping all the Saturday games and Sunday games for the Premier League. And I guess we'll start off with the Manchester United versus Brighton game. It ends 2-1 in favor of Brighton. This is one of those games that we had talked about last week about how United were kind of lucky that they didn't get, like, that they won, you know, because they could have easily drew that game. They could have easily lost that game too. And going up against this Brighton team, they were good. Like, they had good chances. And just towards the end, they made some, like, questionable, like, substitutions. And it just seemed like that last play at, like, the 94th minute or whatever it was, they it was just, like, this, like, horrible miscommunication. And I don't know how you let that happen. Like, when I remember when I watched it and seeing all these guys bunched up in the near post and leaving, like, three Brighton players unattended for in the far post. So dude just crosses over everybody, catches basically the whole defense, including Onana, off guard, and they win the game like that. Bad, bad loss, especially given the fact that next week they got Liverpool, who are on a pretty good hot streak right now. Definitely not the point you want after a loss like this.
No, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I don't know. Like I mentioned before, I feel like they are not focused towards the end of the game, or I feel like I'm watching the game, I feel like a lot of people are out of position. One thing I was reading, between the midfield and defense, whenever the midfield is like trying to attack, defense can't really be too close to them because they lack speed, especially with like Harry Maguire. He is not right. The fastest. He can't really track back. Like, if someone is like next to him, he's going to lose that race, to be honest.
I think so too, but also it's kind of crazy because you're paying this guy like 80 million.
No, yeah.
You know? And
it's a lot of money.
You know, and then, okay, so earlier in the game, before the 94th minute goal happens, United get this, like, awesome breakout play, and beautiful, everyone's connecting, and it looks like a clear just goal. I forgot, who was the player? Xerxes, like...
Garnacho was the one that hit the ball, and Xerxes was in the way.
Hits it,
super unfortunate.
And he's in an offside position. He's in an offside position at that point. And yeah, it's like, but that's communication. That's knowing and trusting your teammates, you know?
Yeah.
Cause like, I know like when you run forward, but when teams are clicking, they know like, oh, hey, he's got it. Like, I can back off for a rebound or a whatever.
Yeah. No, it was, I felt like that was like super unfortunate. It was like super unlucky for them.
Yeah.
Cause it didn't look like he was trying to go for goal. I think he just has so much momentum that he just couldn't stop. I think.
You know,
I'm
definitely.
Gonna rewatch that. But yeah, because yeah, that one you had also. Who was the one that scored? And it was offside. I forgot the. Because there's another offside. I don't know if it was Rashford.
Oh, yeah, Rashford. And Rashford makes. He has a bad habit of being offsides. And just barely. Like, it's that. And that's timing. You know,
yeah,
that's all like timing with your teammates knowing when they're gonna kick the ball. Like,
yeah, it was that. And well, talking about Rashford, I don't know. So I was like looking at the stats, and Rashford had almost the same amount of touches, or exactly the same amount of touches as Garnacho, and Garnacho playing exactly half the playing time. I feel like you have to start to question if you're gonna start Rashford now. I mean, I know there's a lot of people talking about it now. But
I mean, we talked about it.
Yeah, we talked about it, but Liverpool is their next opponent. Would you put like the 20-year-old against Liverpool, or you think you need Rashford there for that game? Because, you know,
if I'm Ten Hag, Garnacho has done, I personally believe that he's done enough to earn at least a start, you know? Like, throw him in there, let him get his legs, and, like, I don't
would
know.
Would you start him against Liverpool, or would you start him against, like, Southampton the following?
I would start him with Liverpool. I think this is not working. It's already proven that it's not really working enough, you know? Garnacho is always in these when if you take the time, like when you watch the highlights, Garnacho's always in the highlights and he's only playing half the minutes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's,
yeah, he should have had the goal.
Yeah. You know, if Xerxes is not on the way, that's a goal. And then even if that late goal from Brighton happens, then you draw, you go, okay, kind of take your lumps. Cause I do think that goal really, like, it switches the conversation from like, oh, you know, they got some issues, but it's fine, to like, now you get close to panic mode with United, yeah, because it's like, okay, well, what might happen in this Liverpool game? Because if you lose to Liverpool, now you're 1 out of 3, puts you towards the bottom half of the league, yeah, and now you're already starting off the wrong foot in the beginning of the season, and that's not good, especially for a Man United team that's not that strong. You know, they needed to come out of the gates hot.
100%. Yeah, so, and also I didn't know that Man U lost 5 out of the 6 last meetings or Premier League meetings with Brighton. I didn't know that. That's,
yeah, apparently they got their number, apparently, you know?
Yeah. So I guess now it's I think now it's 5 out of 6.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, that is kind of wild.
No, yeah. So next is Tottenham versus Everton. 4-0, a brace for Sonny. I'm not going to attempt to say his name. I don't know Korean. but yeah, I didn't watch that game. Did you watch the highlights of the game?
The Tottenham game, no. Unfortunately, I had stuff to do at that point. But
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like what we predicted last week of this was, because Tottenham played okay last week and stuff. And against Everton, that's why we chose not to watch the game as our like 4 highlight games, because they should have done 4 goals is kind of cool. I didn't think they're going to go like that. I thought they would have won maybe 2-0, but you know, they were just on fire. Honestly, like it was one of those, like, first goal happens in 14 minutes, you know, and then it's like a momentum thing, I think, you know, like they got momentum and then it just didn't stop.
Yeah. But I feel bad for Everton because now it's 7 goals in the past 2 games.
Yeah. Not great. Not looking too hot for Everton right now, and not looking good for, I picked Everton as like a little sleeper that was going to make it out of, or I thought they were going to make it out of relegation this year. And man, that's not looking good. But yeah, so easy game. Then we have the West Ham versus Crystal Palace. West Ham wins easily 2-0. You know, I think West Ham's vying for that sort of Europa League spot. I think that's a spot that they can make. They have the team for it, and it kind of proved today against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, because I felt like they played decent versus Aston Villa last week. So they should have won this game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest versus Southampton. I didn't watch this game either. 1-0. Not much to talk about there. Fulham versus Leicester. That was one of our games for the week, but I couldn't find the game anywhere. So I just saw the highlights.
I watched the game and I mean Leicester did good. They could have won. I think they were riding high on that draw against Tottenham, which, I mean, looking at it now, especially given the fact that Tottenham went 4-0, actually makes Leicester look a little bit better, the fact that they drew them, you know?
Yes.
Honestly, I don't have a lot to talk about with this game. There wasn't too much going on, especially after the Fulham's second goal. And it just seemed like they're just kind of out of steam. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it besides that maybe Jamie Vardy needs to drink more Red Bulls.
Yeah.
I think that was the issue. I think if Vardy had drank maybe 1 or 2 more Red Bulls, I think it would have been game over.
Maybe he didn't have Red Bull. He had like Monster instead of Red Bull today.
Maybe he couldn't find his flavor, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
they gave him the sugar-free one.
Oh, no. You can't do that, man. Even though it's funny. That's like my favorite Red Bulls. Well, one of them. It's the one I drink most.
You know which one I like a lot now? I like the yellow one.
Dude, the yellow one's not bad. Funny enough, one time, this is super off topic, but I don't care. me and my wife went out to drink one time, and it was like a gamer bar, and they had this thing called like the Pikachu or something like that, and it was like some like vodka, like pineapple, and then the yellow Red Bull, and dude, that was nice.
That's exactly what actually my girlfriend. I was like, this probably tastes really good with like mixed with something else.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, it was hella bomb. And after that, like, we would, like, every now and again, I would buy her, like, yellow Red Bulls, because even by themselves, they're good. I still say that I think the top of Red Bull flavors is definitely Juneberry. Juneberry just hits so hard.
Nice. I haven't had that one yet.
Oh, dude, it's so good. I go to, like, whatever, like, convenience store you can and get Juneberry. It's so nice. Well, I don't know how to transition from that, but we'll
go. Speaking of yellow Red Bulls, Man City versus
Ipswich. Oh boy. Oh man.
I mean, I was excited when I first saw the score.
Yeah, yeah, no, they scored in the first 7 minutes. Ipswich scores. They like go bonkers over it. And then it seemed like it reminds me of when like, I don't know how many people listening have like younger siblings or anything. But like it's kind of like when like you're playing with your younger sibling in like whatever football or basketball or whatever, you let them score a little bit and they're like happy, and then you're just like, all right, like time to win, I guess, like, yeah. And you just decimate them. It's like Man City let them get the goal to be like, hey guys, like you're here, you know, like take your goal. They got super excited and then they're like, all right, time to actually play. Boom. Now
fucking three goals in like 4 minutes, insane.
Yeah.
And then Haaland with the hat trick.
Haaland with the hat trick after, you know, people kind of talking about Haaland and his like lack there of scoring and stuff like that, basically just without trying.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of hate towards him recently online. I'm like, dude is still a beast.
Yeah, and I think it's what happens when you play on a on a great team that doesn't necessarily need you to score a million goals. I think that's what happens, you know, because if he was on a different team that he was literally their only goal scorer, he would have like, a million goals. But, and it's funny, because even with that, like, if you look at his stats, like, he's still like top five every year, you know, when people say he's not scoring that much, it's like that superstar syndrome where it's like, yeah, but we expect this from you. Like, so if he's not meeting expectations, people go, oh, he's washed, or he's not ready, or I don't know, whatever, you know, dumb take that people have about it. But it's like, no, like, it's just that he has a great team around him. So he doesn't have to score unless he feels like it. And poor Ipswich was his victim.
Yeah.
Congrats to Ipswich, though, with the one goal in the Premier League, they made it.
100%. Against Man City too. So
against Man City, they should hang a banner at the end of the season. Even if they get relegated, they should be like, hey, but we scored one time on Man City. That was cool.
Yeah. So next we have Aston Villa versus Arsenal. That was also one of our games for the week. The game was a little closer than people expected. I expected a little bit more Arsenal. I thought Arsenal was gonna dominate a little cleaner. Cause I feel like Aston Villa had a lot of chances to score. I don't know if you saw like the header that Watkins had.
That was
off the bar. Yeah, so I feel like Ollie Watkins is just like missing a lot of opportunities that he should capitalize on. I don't know. After like the Euros, I thought he was a little better than he actually is. Maybe, I'm not sure. I haven't seen him play enough. But what do you think?
They seem, especially in the first half, like it seemed like both teams were trying to like feel each other out. Because I mean, between the two, I mean, obviously Arsenal are expected to either win the league this year or come in second. This was important for Aston Villa too, because they are seen as a top four team, or people have them in top four this year. So I think both teams want to kind of figure it out. Aston Villa last year basically costed Arsenal the league title last year, you know? So I think there's this like, I don't know, little rivalry going on the last couple of years between them.
Yeah, I think it was at home. I think Aston Villa at home has beaten Arsenal the past couple games.
Yeah, when Arsenal needed the win, and basically that loss essentially signified Arsenal wasn't going to win the league that year.
Yeah, so it was Trossard who scored the first. There's a lot of talks that he was upset because he came off the bench. I guess he wants to start.
Mm. What do you think as an Arsenal fan about that?
I don't know, because who do you replace? Martinelli? I like Martinelli, so...
I would keep Martinelli.
But I don't know, if he keeps scoring, I don't know, you have to see. I have to see more. Because before, like last season, it was mostly like Barcelona. That's what I was watching. Arsenal, I just kept track of the scores. But I want to see more, especially now that we're doing this. I want to see how everyone performs. So yeah, it was him, scored the first one. Second one was Partey. I don't know if you're watching the game, but they were like kind of talking shit about Martinez and like how he had a hand on the ball, but that should have been an easy save. I feel like that was a pretty hard save because his defender was kind of blocking the shot and Partey curved it around him for like the low, like near the post.
Yeah, in the near post, right?
Yeah, in the near post. He got his fingertips, but it was like his fingertips. They were like, oh, he should have put his wrist hard. I was like,
yeah, I'm literally watching the highlight right now. And I don't know what else, like, it's just maybe he's literally like five, like a couple inches away. Like if he was like 2 inches to the left before that shot happens, he would have saved it.
Yeah, that would hit the palm of his hand.
Yeah, so like that's just unfortunate, like positioning.
Yeah, and it was
by inches.
I just felt bad because the commentator was like, "That was fucking terrible. That's a routine save." I was like, "It's not that easy. It doesn't look that easy." I mean, I'm not a goalkeeper. I'm not a professional football player.
I think it's an underrated, like, I think a lot of people think that they can save goals that, like, and if you, it's like, give them the gloves and see, like, you know what I mean? See how they perform, because
We don't know, like, his line of vision of the ball, because it looks like his defender was, like, right in front of him, or, like, for sure in the line of sight.
And it's like, he guessed correctly.
Yeah.
You know, he knew where it was. It was just a matter of, like, when I rewatched the highlight right now, it was literally a matter of just inches. And maybe if he just jumped a little harder, you know, a little faster, he maybe would have gotten to it. But, like, nah, I don't think it was, like, a routine save. But who knows? Maybe we don't know what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah. We're just two random people.
We are.
Talking about football. But also, I felt like Martin Odegaard, how do you pronounce his last name?
Odegaard?
Yeah. Yeah. He... I felt like he should have scored. I don't know if you're seeing that clip of him. He was getting like a rebound and like he just like launches the ball. It should have been 3-0. It should have been 2-2. I don't know. It's a lot of ifs, but Arsenal came out with a win. 2-0.
Yes.
3 points. So
perfect to start the season. And which is good because Man City's perfect. They're perfect. They're keeping pace, you know. Like we talked about before, you know, that's they need to keep pace. That's usually what kills them, is they don't keep pace, or they get a little bit of a lead ahead of them and they falter after that. As long as they can keep pace this first half, and then Man City is bound to lose some easy games, like that's bound to happen. And as long as Arsenal can just, you know, keep even with them, they got a really good chance of winning the league this year.
No, yeah, 100%. So Bournemouth versus Newcastle. We didn't really talk about this game last week.
We
didn't have predictions. It looked pretty even. Well, it looks like Newcastle had a lot more possession, but it looks like for a good amount of the game, they were behind until the 76th minute. I don't know. I thought Newcastle was going to do better this year.
Yeah. They've been on this weird, like after that first year where they made top four and they made Champions League or whatever, they like, I don't know. I don't know enough about Newcastle at this point to know what's going on. If maybe they made some bad signings, they let some like key players go maybe, but I haven't heard anything from like other sources that like I watch. Like, so I don't know. I don't know if this is, you know.
Yeah. We'll look into it. We'll see what happened.
Yeah.
So then that brings us to Wolves versus Chelsea.
Slaughter. It's funny because in the beginning, though, in the first half, it wasn't a slaughter. It was actually a great first half. It was just like, this is what Americans want soccer to be, basically.
If it's not this, they want the World Cup final to be like every single game.
Yeah, like by halftime, it was 2-2 at halftime. So here, I'm going to give you a funny story. So I'm watching the game in my bedroom, and extra time is about to start. Like, it's literally like the 44th minute or whatever. So extra time is about to start, and I'm like, all right, well, that's going to be it. So I start doing laundry. I have the game on, and all of a sudden I hear cheering, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, you know, Cole Palmer just scored in the 45th minute, and I'm like, oh, wow, it's crazy. So I watched the score again. I'm like, oh, wow, that's amazing. I'm like, well, that's it for the, you know, that's cool. Basically, it's going to be like 2-1 to start the second half. So I'm like, all right. All of a sudden, Wolves go and score 6 minutes later, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, like I thought that like it would be fine. Like, I can go do something real quick, you know, and I'll come back during the second half. And all of a sudden, it goes from 1-1 to ending 2-2 at half. Yeah, it was just this like amazing back and forth. It was really exciting, honestly, like to watch. Once the second half started, Chelsea just like they scored again, and then again, and then again, and again, and again. Basically, like,
yeah, a hat trick of for this guy, Mandueke, and then a hat trick of assists for Cole Palmer.
Yeah,
that's a goal.
Palmer is the guy for this team. Like, you 100%, and I mean Chelsea have shown that they know that this is their guy, but like this proves it even more that like, yes, you pay this guy whatever he's worth, and you build around him.
Yeah, no, he looks super good. The goal was super nice.
Oh my god, yeah, and like the way he directs traffic, his assist, the, you know, putting the ball where it needs to be for his teammates to score, like this is the guy, you know, like, and if they can build around him properly, if they can, you know, if he can work on his skills as he gets older, because he's still super young. And it's funny because we talked about it last week when they drew against, or they didn't draw, when they lost against Man City. And I remember we talked about how like a lot of like commentators were talking about like how terrible of a loss that was, and, you know, giving Chelsea all this like heat. And I didn't understand it because I thought they played well, and they're also playing against, you know, the best team in England. I gave him a pass, and this is why, because it's like, yeah, are they better than Man City? No, but they're a very good team, and they proved it, because this Wolves team is a, you know, towards the bottom half of the league team, and Chelsea played like they were that much better than them, and that's what happened. Wolves kept pace for the first half, and then towards the second half, basically, it just showed that like Chelsea just has more energy. They have more like just everything. They have that top half, that top six mentality.
100%. That was a great response by them to all the criticism. Scoring six. Because that's one thing I was talking about last week, was I felt like they were having trouble scoring because they weren't performing well in the final third, but they proved me wrong.
But now the hard part is, well, now you got to do that against another top six opponent. That's going to be their next like objective, or it should be, because they should be able to basically do this towards any other lower league or a lower level team. Whenever the next game against a Liverpool, an Arsenal, teams like that, that will be their next major like hurdle. Because if they can do that, I think you can make arguments like, hey, maybe they will be top four this year. Yeah. You know, but that's yet to be seen, you know, until that those matchups happen.
Yeah. Well, looking for them, it looks like they have it should be a pretty easy lineup for them for the next couple games. Because it looks like they have West Ham the fifth week.
Oh, and Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace, I think, is next, and then Bournemouth following week.
So they should. They have a pretty easy schedule to begin with, so
yeah, take advantage of it, man, get the points.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, it looks good for them. I don't know if you saw anything on social media, but the one who scored the hat trick, he was actually talking shit about the town that they're in.
Oh, really? He was talking shit about fucking.
I don't know if you heard, like, that's why during the game, every time he touched the ball, they were booing him like really hard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because he posted like a story on Instagram. He was like, this place is, everything about this place is shit. Yeah, so that, and he fucking goes out there and scores a hat trick on them. That's like even worse.
That's so beautiful. That is like poetry in motion. That is amazing. Oh my God. I love stuff like that. Like I love when players talk shit about teams and then they back it up by like just like decimating them.
Yeah.
I love that shit. God.
That's so funny. God, that's so funny. But yeah, so then Liverpool, Brentford. Again, Liverpool had another pretty easy match for them, so but I kind of feel like they should be scoring more, huh? Brentford and Ipswich. And they scored 4 in total.
Yeah. It's a but they're also they're an older team, you know, like they're not the team they used to be. They, you know, obviously they got a new coach after having, you know, Klopp for so many years. So, you know, it's kind of like they know what they're doing, you know, so like I think I don't know. I don't know enough about this coach, so I'm not trying I don't want to talk shit or whatever, but I do feel like, you know, when you have older teams that have won together and all this other stuff, like they can kind of go on autopilot. Not saying that they are, but you know what I mean? Like,
no, I get you.
Against these, you know, these teams that they should obviously be beating, it's like, yeah, like I think that they're getting used to this new system, and everything around it. But their way of warming up is by just kicking everyone like Ipswich and Brentford's ass, you know, like,
And also, I feel like my view is a little skewed right now because of Chelsea 6, Man City 4, Tottenham 4.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that football is like not that high of a scoring game. So.
Yeah, no, usually today,
we got some. They're winning, you know? Yeah.
They got some good goals. I mean, there was a lot of scoring this week.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. But made for a fun weekend, you know? A lot of scoring. But you know who the Liverpool reminds me of? They remind me of like the San Antonio Spurs in basketball, where they exist and they just win all the time, but no one ever talks about them because they're just always seen as like, yeah, they should win, but like it, their style is so Spurs, just
to make sure.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah. the Tim Duncan Spurs.
Yeah.
With Greg Popovich and stuff like that. Like, cause like, they used to play the most boring basketball ever. It was the most fundamental, like, grade school basketball, but they just did it so perfectly that they won all the time. But it was boring, so no one talked about it. And I feel like Liverpool's in that sort of, like corner where, like, they're just always expected to win, so no one talks about when the fact that they haven't gotten, like, scored on, basically, you know. But because they're not a Man City scoring 4 goals or like what Chelsea just did with 6, like, I don't know. It's like, you know, you don't get extra points for scoring more goals. So they probably just look at like a machine, you know, like they're like, we're coming, we're going to win, and then we're going to leave.
Yeah. So you got to keep in mind the goal difference. That's why I feel like some of these games, these people should be putting up a couple more goals, you know, that could be a difference maker towards the end.
All right, so
what do we have next? We'll,
yeah, we'll just go and we'll talk about next week's games. Let's see. So we got the 4:30 game, Arsenal against Brighton.
I really want to watch that game. I'm going to try to wake up for that game.
Yep, it's your turn. I woke up for the I woke up for the Man United game at 4:30 in the morning. It's your turn to wake up for Arsenal.
I'm going to. I really want to watch this game. I feel like it's going to be a good
game. It's going to be a good game. Yeah.
Definitely. But they have Arsenal winning. Like 72% chance of them winning.
I mean, I would too. I would have Arsenal winning.
Yeah.
Especially how Arsenal have been playing. They should beat them. But Brian's going to be a tough matchup. Because I think Brian, you know, given the fact that as of right now, they're top 4, they want to stay up. They want to stay as high up on the table as possible. I think that's going to be a good test of strength for Brighton. And it's going to be another good, like, I think it's good for Arsenal to play some of these teams that are like, you know, they played Aston Villa today, next week playing Brighton. I think it's good for them to get these sort of, I want to say harder games, but, you know, games against teams that are projected to be at least top half of the league now and to be winning, because you don't want these teams at the end of the season. You'd much rather have an Ipswich at the end of the season. You know what I mean? Especially once you're beaten and battered from Champions League play and FA Cup runs, and you know, you want all your harder opponents, I think, in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Because then injuries happen and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And so then all the 7 o'clock games for us. Do you want to run down the 7 o'clock games?
Sure. Yeah, so we have Nottingham Forest versus Wolves. I feel like Wolves should win that one. I feel like they're not playing bad. Yeah, I think they have to now. Leicester City versus Aston Villa. Should be Aston for me.
Aston's going to win, especially given that they lost against Arsenal. They're going to be pissed. They're going to take it out on Jamie Vardy. But,
yeah,
hey, never count out the Vardy.
Honestly, I'm kind of rooting for them this year. I think I mentioned that last episode. I feel like I kind of want them to do good.
I do too. At minimum, I want Leicester City to stay up.
Yeah.
I think having Jamie Vardy in the league is fun. Because he's just a fun dude with his weird habits.
No, yeah. Jamie Vardy's fun. So then we have Ipswich versus Fulham. Fulham should take advantage of that. Brentford versus Southampton. That one, I have no opinions on that one. I have no guesses. I think I'm just going to end up being 0-0 or 1-1. Yeah. I still haven't seen him play this season. So
yeah, me neither.
I don't really have an opinion. Everton versus Bournemouth. Feel bad for Everton. They need to try to win here.
They really do. These poor guys, man. And then we got the late game, which is Man City versus West Ham. I mean, if you just take it on face value, Man City should easily just annihilate them. But West Ham's not doing bad. You know, they're kind of in that mid-table kind of range right now. They're not doing bad. They're not doing good. But West Ham are one of those sneaky teams that I think when you're a top six team, they're scary to play against because they can just get lucky bounces and you can be like, oh my God, it's, you know, 2-1 or it's 1-0 right now. You know, they're kind of one of those teams. So like, as much as it's most likely going to be a easy Man City win, I think that there's just this chance that Fulham or a West Ham can kind of edge one out or squeak one, you know, while they're not looking.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. And then on Sunday, 5:30 in the morning. Well, for us on the West side, it's Chelsea versus Crystal Palace. I don't know, after today, Chelsea should take care of business there.
They got to ride that momentum. They got great momentum right now. I think after you know, trashing Wolves the way that they did in the second half, I think they got to ride. And the coach needs to show that, like, this is how good we can be. And they can be that good every game if they want to. They're young enough. They got the, you know, they got the energy. Like, they got the players, you know.
Yeah. And then we have Newcastle versus Tottenham. I feel like after this week, Tottenham should feel good again. I feel like they should take care of business there. But then Man U versus Liverpool at 8 a.m. for us. That's a game I'm excited about. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like Rashford should stay on, honestly.
You think so? Because of consistency or experience
for me? Because I don't know. Because I feel like I'm not sure like what Garnacho's like weaknesses are. And he hasn't started a game. And I don't really want to start him against a bigger team like Liverpool, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think I guess, you know, if you're Erik ten Hag, then I think maybe you can justify how everything's going just simply off the fact that you go, well, you can play Rashford in the first half and then you can sub on a fresh-legged Garnacho to try to win you the game late.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they do start him. If they do start him against Liverpool, I feel like that's going to be like a confidence like bruise for Rashford.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
It could be his wake-up call. Because honestly, like, him having like the same amount of stats as Garnacho with double the Garnacho's time, I feel like it's not acceptable, especially for like how much he's getting paid.
Oh yeah, no, not at all.
No, he for sure needs a wake-up call. But also, I feel like it's been like a while too that he's been not the most consistent.
That's why, like, I think it's time now. Like, a lot, I mean, even Man United fans that I've seen online talk about that it's time for Rashford to get benched and to see really how much Garnacho can give you. Because who knows? Maybe he is just a second half player. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't think so. But you don't know until you really start these guys and you, like, give them the time to, like, feel it out. Because then you can go, hey, like, it didn't work out or whatever. I think that you should at least start Garnacho at least one game.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. We'll see what the lineup is. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you guys think Rashford should start versus Liverpool? Or should Garnacho replace him?
Yeah. And I think that's about it, right? We recapped everything. That's
pretty much everything.
For this. And then we're going to see you guys on Friday morning. Or we'll talk Friday about morning. All the latest news towards the end of the transfer window. So, you know, who knows what's going on there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you listened this far, we appreciate you. We'll catch you guys on the next one.
Yeah.
Bye.
See you later.
Alligator.